Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now with Denise Thompson, health coach, nurse, educator, author, and speaker. Today we're going to have a special guest with us, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about her till she's on the line. Her name is Gretchen Downey, and she is a children and teen health innovation and program prevention expert, conscious parenting, human potential and purpose specialist, number one best-selling author, public speaker, school health programming specialist, and CEO of Mind Body Spirit Parenting and founder of www.thekidwhisper.com. The reason why I've chosen this guest is because we're talking about how does stress affect children. And you know that I'm writing a book about that, and that's one of my chapters. But I actually love to have a guest with me who actually knows more about it. So, Gretchen, are you here?
I'm here, Denise. Nice to talk to you. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. I am just introducing you right now. I'm just going to read a little bit about your bio before we get into it. And I am so excited that you're here with me today. So thank you so much for accepting my invitation.
Absolutely.
So, go ahead. Okay. So I did mention that Gretchen is a children and teen health innovation and program prevention expert and much more. And now I'm going to give you a little bit about her background. She is a 25-year veteran in the areas of substance abuse, applied neuroscience, behavioral nutrition, fitness, violence prevention, eating disorders, youth and adult physical, emotional, and social health issues, sports performance, conscious parenting, prenatal health, and social emotional learning. Gretchen creates a multifaceted, holistic approach to affect change in paradigms for children, teens, and adults by teaching people how to utilize the human technologies of mind, body, and spirit to improve every aspect of life, health, and the human experience. And that's not all. That's just the beginning. And we're going to get a little bit more into it while I interview Gretchen. She also has a lot of experience with media, education, and outreach. And instead of me reading everything, I'm just going to go right into talking with Gretchen as my friend and expert in the field. And Gretchen, tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get into what you're doing? Because this is so much information. You don't look old enough to know all that stuff, and yet you have proven it more than enough that you do know what you're talking about. So please tell us a little bit about your background.
Oh, well, aren't you sweet? Yeah, and some of those words just sound so complex and everything, but I think the bottom line is it's interesting how life threw me down so many different roads, but one interesting thing, and I was kind of pondering on this morning, it's like I've been in almost every major arena that you can find children, and then somehow these jobs always just kind of kept throwing themselves at me. I went down the road of kind of the adult health and, you know, at-risk populations and those kinds of things, but youth always kind of just kept creeping in. So I guess that was a divine plan for me. And so I worked in children's medical clinics. I worked with Walt Disney World in a kind of a recreational kind of, you know, environment, the happiest place on earth, right? And 16 years or more in schools, and I've worked with an organization to develop youth facilities, award-winning youth facilities. So I've just experienced kids in so many different arenas, and I've developed so many programs along the way, many evidence-based, many program innovations. And I think it's probably fair to say that I just have a really pulse on children and teens, and, you know, and upcoming children that are, you know, newly being born and prenatal health and the parents themselves. And I'm a parent too. So I get all the challenges. I've been through them all. I've been through maybe some of the toughest challenges that people face, you know, the top stressors such as, you know, really tough divorce, financial collapse, losing your home, all these kinds of things that many people experience. And the bottom line is, what came out of all of this, Denise, is that through all this education and everything, you know, we do so much with just knowledge-based information and some behavioral, but there's something fundamentally missing from our human education, which starts at birth. And it really comes down to learning how to use our human technologies, the devices that are built right inside of us. And we're using them, but oftentimes using them against ourselves or incorrectly, or we don't know how to use them. And this is what causes so much stress and pain, which is basically your topic of today. And so This is what I help people do. I train people to spiral up instead of down. And it's completely possible. And I've done it through some of the worst situations that people can experience. And it includes things like death and family death and my own health condition. And I train myself to spiral up. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. And that's kind of my point with things.
Oh, I love that attitude. Man, no wonder you're such a strong person. And you're a real attraction. You're a magnet. And I can see how people just really move towards you and want to get the information that you have through personal experience, through education and everything else. And actually, you mentioned prenatal. May I interject that I think it starts at perinatal? Because that's what
Absolutely.
I've learned, that just after conception already, the whole development of the child that's being created is already starting in the womb. And I know for a fact I had some hurdles to overcome too, which was that I spoke a different language with the fetus growing inside of me. And all my in-laws got so infuriated with me. You're in the U.S. You need to do what we do. And I said, no, she needs to learn something about my culture also. And now, so many years or decades later, she actually comes forth with the things that I taught her before she was even born. I go, wow. So that fits right into your thing with all the education. This is so amazing. I see you have written some books. Tell me about them.
I have. I wrote a book called Developing the Conscious Child, the Mind, Body, Spirit Parenting Guidebook. It is an ebook, but it's a full book, and it's on my website, thekidwhisper.com. And then I've also written a book that became a number one bestseller. It's called Your Amazing Itty Bitty Parenting Teens Book, 15 Powerful Strategies for Understanding How Your Teen Thinks. And I have a book that is just finishing up at the publishers now on purpose education, because most people miss the other half of purpose, the other aspect of it. And we usually just focus on, what are my skills and my abilities? And I'm supposed to share that with the world. And that's a piece of it, but it's only half of it. And so that book is will probably be released here in not too long of a time, maybe a month or something like that is kind of what I'm expecting now. But all this stuff ties together, because when people aren't on point with this and their purpose and why are they here, and learn it from a really comprehensive perspective of your mind, body, and your spirit, then we end up getting stressed out and we end up off course. And instead of being on the path, we're down in the ditches and the rocks and the rubble, which really scrapes us up, right? So that's what that book is about, because no matter what I do when I'm talking with teens, adults, it doesn't matter what age, quite honestly, these two always really critically link together. And so I have that book coming out as well.
That's exciting. And are you going to list that on your website also?
I will. When that gets released, I'll release it when it, I'll release that when it gets on my website, and looking forward to that.
Amazing. So now we already know how much you know about teens and the development and all, the parenting, conscious or unconscious with some people at times. Why do so many people have challenges with the teens? What is your take on that?
Well, basically, it's undeniable that people really, the problem with it is really that people just don't understand this phase of the life cycle. And it really is a unique phase and a period of time, you know, between somewhere around 11, 12 years of age up until the early 20s when the brain is changing enormously. And that means the body goes with it. So they really are transforming from a child brain and body into an adult brain and body. And it is really one of the most extraordinary feats of nature, but we don't look at it that way. And it's as amazing as forming a baby in the womb. And it's transformative because, you know, the brain is totally rewiring itself and it's paring away lots of information. It's really literally dropping off neural connections by the hundreds of thousands. And so when teens feel off and irritable and unfocused and they just can't quite get themselves together, it's because the material isn't there. It's actually missing. And they're actually forming new material as they take in their environment and start operating with an adult brain and body. And so it's very critical, the things, the quality of the things that we do and say for these teens, because as they're developing new neurons, everything that we say, we imprint into them, every emotion, everything that we make them feel, they imprint that. So for example, if someone has the thought that teens are messed up, that they're a pain in the rear, that they're, you know, anything negative, this gets developed into the teen brain and they kind of take on that that neuroprogramming. And so rather than looking at them as extraordinary because they are, we look at it, we let society dictate, oh, teens are this and that. And so there's a lot of myths perpetuated about teens, such as, you know, their hormones are running wild, they're unmotivated, and, you know, it's a period of immaturity. This is not a period of immaturity. It is, like I said, extraordinarily advanced what's happening inside of their human body. And then in terms of hormones, they aren't running wild. Yes, they're increasing, but all these changes that we're seeing, maybe even some, you know, behaviors are really due to the changes in the structure and function of the brain. It isn't due to those hormones. So, and I think the other thing about motivation, this causes a big stress point, Denise, is that it's not that teens are unmotivated at all. In fact, it's just that they think differently. They look at the world differently because they want to change it. And adults are often resistant to that change. And so they don't get why adults are resistant to that. Because they want to do something better. They see improvements all over the place that could be made from our behaviors to our physical environment, yet people are so resistant to change because of money and all sorts of things. So this is where stress comes in for the teen. So it's not that they're unmotivated, it's just that the world is not presenting an environment for them to flourish in.
Well, that's a great point. I'm wondering, and I need your expertise on that one, how does it work, the relationship between parent and teen, in the sense that the teens or children in general reflect what their parents are? It's kind of like you look in the mirror, you see what you do, you see what you say. If you as a parent have an expression of anger or something, whether you say anything or not, your expression already imprints in your child's character, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, here's what happens. Between the ages of about 0 to 6 or 0 to 7, children have high theta wave production. And what happens is they're just little vessels that let information in. So they just, their little brains are building. So they don't come ready to walk and ready to ride a bike and know everything. They have to just, let information import into them, so to speak. And so their brain wires accordingly. So if a child grows up in a home that is just so happy and joyful and optimistic, chances are that child's brain will be wired to make joy, optimism, and happiness automatic. So that's just how they feel. They just operate that way throughout the day. They're on autopilot in joy and that, so, which is awesome because it lights up the higher thinking centers of the brain in the prefrontal cortex. So this is cool stuff. Now, on the opposite side of things, if a child grows up in a great deal of stress, you know, that doesn't have a lot of asset development, you know, fear, anger, punishment, you know, negativity and words and pessimism, then, or stubbornness, then they're going to have those characteristics. And that goes also with lack. Some people have a lack mentality, and their children will grow up with those automatic imprints. Now, the truth of the matter is either one can change at any time. You just have to give your focused attention to it. Of course, you wouldn't want to change the good qualities, right? You want to keep those. But the ones that don't serve us, and we all have them, we all have something or other, even the most optimistic people still have something that they can work on, you can work at shifting those. And it simply is an issue of learning tools and techniques, simple ones, they're not hard, that actually dissolve the old neural patterns while building up new, healthier ones that help create an integrated brain flow of electrical activity and specifically up to those higher thinking centers. And so this is the education that's missing that we should be teaching ourselves, and it isn't hard. Yeah, I've learned all these complex things, and I kind of nerdy, and I like some of the science and physiology, but I get it. People don't understand these complex subjects, but it doesn't have to be hard. And I look at it like it's my equipment. It's my own equipment. I just need to use it better or learn how to use it. And that's what I've done for the last 20 years, is have taught myself how to do this. And when someone else learns it first, then they can usually make the process much, much faster and quicker for those that they teach it to. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm put on the planet to do this.
That's so amazing. I love it. And it's true. We all have tools to use. Unfortunately, some people either don't know how to use the tools they have been given or they acquired, or they're just not willing to use. And I don't want to put any negative fields out there, but, you know, when you're positive, as you just said, and you use the tools that you have available or search for some that are better suited for you, you can make such a big change in your own life, which then carries over to your children, especially to your teens, because they're still impressionable, whether we want to believe it or not.
Well, and also, Denise, I'll say this just for clarification point. There's tools and then there's your own technologies, and your internal technologies, you're using them all the time. Think of like your eyesight as a technology. You're using your eyes all the time, right? Now, that's not one of the technologies I'm talking about, but they are there for you to use and you're using them all the time. It's just that we aren't using them in a serving way. We're using them sometimes against ourselves or unconsciously rather than consciously directed towards what we want and where we want it to go. And it's oftentimes that we don't know how they work, how they align with one another, and how they integrate and work for us. So that's a different, whereas a tool is something that, and there's those two where you can just say, oh, I'd like to work, use this tool for this activity or something like that to help strengthen myself. So those are a little bit different. The technologies, you've got them, you're using them. We just need to use them correctly or to our benefit, shall I say.
I'm so glad you clarified that. I mean, that was my intent, but I probably didn't come across that way. That's why it's always great to have somebody on the other line who can actually make sure that the lingo is correct and everything so people do understand. Thank you so much.
It's a confusing subject sometimes. And so it's always helpful to get extra clarity on these complex subjects.
Absolutely. Now, you did mention the word myth before, but what are some of the myths that people and society have about teens besides the ones that you mentioned already, that they're lazy and whatnot, which is not really true? It just depends on how we allow them to be stimulated.
Yeah, that they're immature and those kinds of things. Well, I think one other one is that it's just a stage to get through and get over with. You know, we have this attempt, oh God, I just can't wait till adolescence is over. And we really are harming them and harming ourselves and our whole society when we do that. When we look at the upcoming kids, they're the future of our world, and we should be promoting their upward development, the upward ways that they think about themselves and their importance here and what they're doing, and cultivate their creativity, their imagination to change this world for the better. I can't tell you, but teens and, you know, really, and young adults really have a way of just talking to me, I think, because I sort of get them. And the number one thing they think is that they can't change anything. And I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, you guys are going to change everything. Think of all the stuff you didn't like. Think of what didn't work. Because, for example, they know that test taking and this kind of stuff just stresses them out. They forget most of it the second they get to college. And I said, you guys, you know, they need one, they need lots of adults telling them, you guys are going to change this whole system. You're going to turn it head on its heels because it isn't working. And you guys are going to create something for the better. So, my gosh, their eyes light up. They get optimistic, or at least, you know, in the arena of something that they care about. So they just realize that they have potential, and we need to look at them as this instead of just a time to get through. We need to look at how are we developing and imprinting their brains for the better, because they are the ones that are going to create some really cool stuff and honestly save this planet.
That's so amazing. I love the way you mentioned the tests. Just the personal experience, I literally froze before taking tests. And I talked to the teachers, I talked to the professors at the university, and I said, look, I know the information, but the way the questions are stated, it is testing me for what I don't know. Can we turn that around and be tested for what we do know, and then what's not in there, what needs to be known, can be taught or retaught again? And that made actually a huge difference in the way to look at what is a test for. Is it to put the student down, you don't know this, or is it to, oh my gosh, I can teach more and better in this field because the students have not quite gotten it yet. So it's a reflection on the person who's doing the teaching. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. You're so spot on with this. And you can't possibly measure the human capacity by those tests. I would imagine if you're going into some, you know, strictly engineering or something degree, you know, where the mathematics and certain applications of science are important, you know, you might screen for it in that regard. But not everybody's doing that. And that doesn't mean everything to everyone. And that you're not capturing the emotional, the creative intelligence of the human being, which is just phenomenal. And in the capacity. And so it measures, in my mind, it measures very little. So it does need to be reconstructed and completely overhauled. And at this point, there's a lot of people vested in big industry in this, from the university standpoint, from the testing standpoint, from those that are preparing people for tests. I mean, they're really bought into this. I remember taking my sons to just one place for, you know, to learn more about it and see what they could do. And they were pumping the fear of the devil in me. So I just like, I'm like, I'm sorry, this is just not going to work. Anytime someone's pumping fear in you, they're automatically going in the wrong direction. Like, your kid isn't going to do this. This is going to happen to them. And it was just a selling point to plague on people's fears. And I'm like, this is not good. And, you know, it's in a reputable place. And so they're bought into their own Kool-Aid. They're drinking their own Kool-Aid, and they're not even fully aware and conscious of what they're doing to kids, nor do they perhaps sometimes care. But I know there are people that do, that are trying to do this in a holistic way. You know, those are a few thoughts on that subject.
Wow. I mean, we're definitely speaking the same language, maybe not exactly the same words, but I am so in sync with what you're saying right now. I just hope our listeners are the same way, because there's so many nuggets of wisdom in here. It's amazing. I have another question for you. Can you help us understand what is a generation gap and why do we have it? I mean, there's always been parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and then, of course, the children and stuff. And in our generation, they were always living in the same home, especially if it came to a certain class of people. And that's not putting down. That's just making the specification that some people who could afford it, they had the whole family together for support, emotional, financial, physical, and everything else. And now we're getting away from it. Does that have to do with the generation gap?
Well, a generation gap, if you look at it, now understand, because I work a lot in spiritual science as well, when you step back, you know, kind of step out of your skin and step back and look at the world and the environment, the world is designed to evolve. If it didn't evolve, it would cease to exist. So everything is evolving. So each new generation that comes in is more advanced than the last. And so my children are higher humans, so to speak, than me. Every generation comes in higher and higher. And so it's really kind of like an energy gap, a frequency gap. And if you don't keep up with it, you have a hard time relating it to it, and you age quickly, and you struggle, and you resist, and you're angry, and you know, and all these different things, like, because we're not keeping up with the times. And you know, I've got family members, older family members, that say, why can't it all just stay the same? And the only things that really stay the same are universal laws. These are divine laws that govern the universe, okay? Those things held constant. But everything else changes. If you look at the earth and humanity and our consciousness, it has shifted over the course of time. Otherwise, we'd still be crucifying people on crosses, okay? So it has shifted, although there's violence, horrible violence in some areas. There's definitely cancerous pockets on the planet, just like we have cancers within our own human system if we're not taking care of the health of ourselves. And so that happens collectively with humanity as well. But in regards to this generation gap, it really is this gap in consciousness. And so, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, that children have improved ways of viewing life and the world. They're less resistive than those before them. So, for example, I grew up in the Cold War time, and it was a lot of competition and territorial kind of behaviors. I've had to work that out of my wiring, my neurochemistry, my brain, so that I work more cooperatively, more peacefully. These kids come in very peaceful. And so I've watched this happen even with my own kids and families and friends and whatnot, where, you know, the grandparents are getting angry at the children. Don't you care about anything? You don't care about nothing and blah, blah, blah. So they're misinterpreting how these kids look at things. But in fact, how the kids are looking at it is that they're more accepting. They know that fear and anger and hatred are lower emotions and they don't feel good. It's more like operating in ego as opposed to operating in your divine consciousness. And so they're automatically more cooperative. I've watched this in the work environments where they're not big on the hierarchical thing where it's like, ooh, the big CEO in the big office and you trickle on down to the staff. They work more cooperatively. You'll see lots of them in the similar offices. They work like almost like in a ring. Think of a spiral ring, like Saturn rings. They like it in an even keel, kind of, so to speak. It's not necessarily this upper echelon and lower echelon kind of thing. So they're much more advanced. That's cooperation, valuing everybody for whatever they bring to the table, as opposed to I'm higher and you're lower kind of thing. So
yeah.
That's kind of the difference.
Well,
a little bit,
Gretchen, I really appreciate that, but we have 50 seconds less. I want to make sure we can give the free gift to our listeners. It's called The 10 Golden Rules of Parenting, and where you can find that is on Gretchen's web, which is www.thekidwhisper.com, and then go to Parent with Gretchen and Books by Gretchen, and then there you will see your free gift, The 10 Golden Rules of Parenting, and you can check out her web. It's absolutely filled with nuggets of wisdom and amazing things. And if you need to contact me with suggestions, questions, or whatnot, you can send me an email, you can send me an email to dythompson, T-H-O-M-S-O-N, @gmail.com, or call me at 562-335-4956. I wish everybody a happy and a healthy week. Thank you.